You are now experiencing the teaching ministry of Pastor Richard Martin of Life Community Church, located in Arlington, Texas.
So if everything about the Lord is right, and what he does is a part of who he is, everything he does then is right. Amen? Everything about you. So what he does is about him. So what he does is right. You say amen to that? And then if everything about him is right and everything that he does is right, then everything that he says is right. Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
And so that when we put our faith in him, then come on, sister. That when we put our faith in him, we put our faith in what is, come on, help me out, right. When we put our trust in him, we're putting our trust in what's right. When we set down the things that he didn't do, and that's not him, and he didn't say, when we put it down and put it away, we recognize then that what we're doing is right, because it's not him. It's not what he does. It's not what he said. So when I let go of those things that are not him, it's right. When I set aside the things that he doesn't do, maybe I'm doing it. But if he didn't say to do it and he doesn't do it, then I need to stop doing it because it's not right. Listen, this is not difficult. This is not hard. What makes it difficult and what makes it hard is what we're going to talk about in the next 20 minutes. I have 20 minutes, according to the Spirit of God, to give you what the Spirit gave me in regards to landing this plane, in regards to our series called Outbreak. Ladies and gentlemen, you may be seated. It is now today, June 8th. 50 days later from the day of resurrection, in terms of our calendar that we've counted, and we have been in a series in regards to an outbreak of the Holy Spirit among us and among the body of Christ, but starting with us because God gave us this series, and we started out the series understanding the dynamic of the mystery that God hid within himself, that even his own who were the children of Israel, they didn't recognize that there was a greater plan that God had for mankind. He didn't just want the Israelites, he wanted everybody. That those of us who are not descendants of Israel, that God incorporated us in his greater plan through Jesus Christ, his death, burial, and resurrection. And in that, he gave us by faith, through grace, by faith, the right to be called sons of God. Through no merit and no requirement like the children of Israel had, they were exposed to the law, and the law which would expose them to sin and to what God's standard was and how they had to follow it. But God, in his infinite wisdom, understood even his own children were not going to be able to fully complete his standard. So he sent Jesus, who became the perfect sacrifice for us all. But those of us who were of the Gentile background, those of us who are not descendants of Israel, God opened the door even for us by grace to say, you know what? You don't have to know everything they knew, but you're going to get everything that they got. That's the part where y'all shout that even though that they were required to study since the age of 3 to know my law and to memorize it, verse 5 books, word for word, you don't have to do all of that. I'm going to instead plant my Holy Spirit in you. Amen. Thank you. And I'm going to cause this in the perfect time and season to where that which it is that I want to declare to you, I'm going to put it in written form. I'm going to inspire people over 1,500 years. I'm going to inspire 40 different people from 3 different continents to put together the logos of my word. And I'm going to put it together in the right time, in the right season. I'm going to put it all together in a book of books. And so all of the things that you don't know now in the season that you're in, I'm going to make it easy for you. It's not going to be held up in just scrolls for my chosen people, but I'm going to get it out there to all of you so that even as you by grace become saved and become my child, I'm going to give you now my instruction. And by grace, because you understand what that is, unmerited favor to enjoy life to the fullest, I'm going to bless you. I'm going to activate you. I'm going to put you back in perfect design. I'm going to cause you to behave and to think and to move like I created you to do. And I'm also going to say to you, being blessed, you're going to be a blessing to everybody that you encounter. But I'm going to require something of you. I did my part, but I need you to do your part. So while I've graced you, the mystery that you didn't even know was happening for you. And while I've blessed you, because I started out with a guy who, just like you, didn't have my word. Abraham, the father of faith. He didn't have the word. He didn't have scrolls. He had God's voice giving him instruction. And the scriptures say, because he believed God, it was credited to him, his righteousness. Because everything about you is right. Be quiet. I got a sore throat. But you have a part to play in it, and we learn that part is the aspect, the process of sanctification. The making the decision to turn and enter into what God would say to enter into so that we would fully be able to do what he requires us to do. Separated for his purpose, but even deeper than that, separating ourselves, that sanctification, that removing ourselves from everything that's not him to enter into everything that is him. Are y'all hearing what I'm saying? I told you I got 20 minutes. Y'all should be happy about that. This is not only a task, it's an adventure. And so we learned that this whole process of sanctification, he didn't leave us to our own selves, even with the part that we have to play. He gave us his Holy Spirit that would remind us of everything that Jesus would teach us. A helper. One who comes alongside of us. One who would tell us to say yes and to say no. Say yes to what Jesus would say to do and no to anything he says not to do. But our part, our responsibility, our task is to agree with what he says. Hello? I have to agree with the word. I have to agree that even though it's not comfortable, it sanctifies me so that I walk in the purpose by which God created me to walk in this marriage, at this job, in the relationship, in and out of the church. All the areas where I'm called to take dominion, I can't be like everybody else. And that being like everybody else is not how we dress. Hello. Because we learned that the aspect of sanctification in the church so many times is about what you wear and what you don't wear. And in the generation that we're living in right now, most people would look at certain people because you all tatted up and you got earrings and you got all this, that you're not sanctified. And that's not sanctification. It starts in your heart. And then it shows itself outwardly. Because now God gives you instruction as, you know, you can do that, but should you? Come on, I'm preaching really good here. I need your help. I got 15 minutes. Praise the Lord. You're going to get your moment. Hold on. I got 15 minutes. So we understand we have to agree. We have to agree with the word. And that agreement, then we'll get the instruction as to what to do and what not to do, what to wear and what not to wear. Holy Spirit walking alongside, partnered with us, empowering us, equipping us to do exactly what Jesus said we could do. Amen. Now, here's the other part that we're going to land with this, and it's repentance. 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 Now, when I say that word, when I express that word, y'all bring up the scriptures right now. Look, we're going to run through this. Stop being so sorry. I'm sorry, Lord. I'm sorry. We define repentance and I'm sorry. God, I'm sorry. And it's all good that you feel that. But there's something more than just being I'm sorry to repentance. Because there's a lot of sorry people in it. Okay, I'm sorry. There's a lot of sorry people in the church. But that's not good enough. That doesn't get us to repentance. Scripture. Come on, y'all. Bring it up. Bring it up. Y'all, if y'all don't get this on time, it's not my fault. All right, here we go. 1 John 1:3. That which we have seen and heard, we declare to you that you may also have fellowship. This is not the first scripture, is it? All right, thank you. If we say that we have no sin, we deceive ourselves and the truth is not in us. If we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. If we say that we have not sinned, we make him a liar. And what? His word is not in us. My God. Next scripture. Come on, y'all. 2 Chronicles 7:14. We're all familiar with this one. If my people, who are called by my name, will humble themselves and pray and seek my face and... Pastor Frey, where's the highlight? Where's the highlight, bro? You bubblehead. Anyway, turn from their wicked ways. That would have been highlighted up there. Then I will hear from heaven and will what? Forgive their... and heal their land. Next scripture, come on. Yes. 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 2 Corinthians 7:8 in the Amplified. For even though I did grieve with you, and this would be my foundational scripture, brothers and sisters. Even though I did grieve with you, it should say you with my letter, I do not regret it now. Though I did regret it, for I see that the letter did pain you, though only for a little while. Yet I am glad now, not because you were pained, but because you were pained into repentance. And so turn back to God, for you felt a grief such as God meant you to feel, so that in nothing you might suffer loss, so in nothing you might suffer loss through us or harm for what we did. He's talking about the letter that he wrote in regards to their behavior that didn't line up with the attitude of giving and the spirit of giving. And the letter that Paul wrote, that it was a harsh letter. It was a letter of correction. It was a letter of explaining to them, you were wrong. You need to stop that. And it made them sorrowful. It grieved them. It caused them to recognize something was wrong. And they did something wrong. But he was glad because he said this was a godly sorrow unto repentance. A godly sorrow until it's not enough for you and I just to be sorry about things we know God is not happy with. It's not enough. Look at your neighbor and tell him, it's not enough to be sorry. Next scripture. Next scripture. Come on, y'all. I got 9 minutes. Pastor Fred saying. Okay. All right. Thank God for technology, but is it up? All right. All right. 2 Peter 3:9 in the Amplified. The Lord does not delay and is also not tardy or slow about what he promises. Y'all don't. Y'all, man, okay. He's not tardy, slow about what he promises according to some people's concept of slowness. Is that a conception? Okay. Thank you. Conception of slowness. But he is long suffering. He is extraordinarily. Yeah, some of y'all saying thank you, Lord. Some of y'all acting like y'all don't know what that is because y'all don't exercise extraordinary patience with God. Don't you can't say amen, say oh me. Don't say that either. Anyway, extraordinary patience towards you, not desiring that any should what? Hurry. But that all should Now, when we read these scriptures, we're taking the concept and the word of repentance, and many times it's always about the altar call. Repent. Come back to God. And its connotation, indeed, it means that. But really, honestly, truthfully, and why we're landing with repentance instead of starting with repentance is because at the end and the culmination of everything that we talked about in this outbreak, the aspect of God's grace, the aspect of his blessing, the aspect of sanctification, what God wants you to do, according to the Greek translation of this word, repentance, or to repent, that is simply to change your mind. Change your mind. About what, Pastor? About the fact that everything about you is right. Y'all think we set that up? We didn't. God did. That if God is right about everything, and if whether I am a child of God or I'm wondering, you know, how deep should I go with this, the bottom line is God is right about everything. And for me to repent, basically all I'm saying is, I am changing my thinking from my thought and my directive and how I will conduct myself into God's thought and how he says I should conduct myself. Amen. With 8 minutes to go, repentance is not about feeling sorry or guilty or convicted about what you did. That's not God's job to leave you convicted. It's not God's job to leave you feeling guilty. It is not his desire for you to feel condemned. That's not what he wants for you. That's why he sent Jesus. Jesus took all of the condemnation. He took all of the guilt. He took all of the shame. He took all of the bad feelings that you would feel on the cross, so that when you would come to him, understanding the grace extended to him, to yourself, and when you would receive him as your Savior, that you would walk the process of sanctification. In other words, now putting yourself in a position to agree with God's word. And when you now, as a believer, are y'all hearing what I'm saying? Because this hurts right now. When you set yourself up as a believer to see certain things that are going on in the way that you are thinking and conducting your lives, you take God's word and you compare it and you gauge it. Because God, if you are right, it's not, I'm really not making a decision. I'm really saying, well, here is what I think and here is what you think. Well, what I think is not matching with what you think. What should I go with? No, see, that's what the problem. That's our issue. I'm contemplating what should I go with, even though God said to do this. I'm still thinking and believing I should go with what I think. So although I might feel sorry because I got hurt, or somebody got hurt by my actions, I feel sorry and guilty, and I shouldn't have said that way. When God gives me a word about how to correct it, because when he gives us his word, he gives us his word for a number of things. Correction. Wait, let me back up. Rebuke. And correction. In other words, rebuke is, hey, that was wrong. And sometimes your pastor has to say it to you. Don't be getting pissed off at him because he says that. If what he says is lining up with the word, your job is to agree with the word. You're not agreeing with me because I'm the pastor. You're agreeing with me because I agree with the word. And I'm trying to get you and me to agree with the word so that we all can be blessed. And we all can move forward. Y'all playing. I got 6 minutes. Y'all playing. No. So repentance is not about the guilt. It's not about the feeling sorrowful. I want you to feel sorry, but I want your sorrow to lead you to change your mind about what you're doing and how you're behaving. Because what you're doing, what you're behaving, it's not godly. It's not righteous. It's not the kingdom person that God has designed and created you to be. It don't matter how good it feels. It doesn't matter how much you've convinced yourself that for the moment, this is good. I got to do this now this way. If you know God's word, you're accountable to his word. I'm accountable to his word. I have to do what's necessary. I have to do what's necessary to make sure that I am in agreement with what God says. And when I am not, I repent. Are y'all hearing what I'm saying to you? I change my mind. If I am a child of God, this is not optional. Look at your neighbor and say, it's not optional for you. Now, don't slack on that for you. Keep it real. It's not optional for you. It's not optional for me. If I'm thinking something and I find that through the Spirit of God, through a word that comes from platform or a word that comes from me meeting in the community. Some of y'all don't go to community group because y'all not wanting to hear what God has to say about what you do it. Because you already, when you hear it, it makes you feel sorrowful because you know better. How many of y'all got kids? Y'all got kids. Y'all kids know when they not doing right. They feel kind of way. That's why they peek around the corner, seeing where you at, what you doing. Because I know that I don't want to feel sorrowful with that. Because whoopings hurt. But listen to me. Whoopings hurt, and a lot of us have been getting whooped by God. The circumstances have been whooping us, but it hasn't changed us. Ooh, I'm preaching. I got 4 minutes left. This is good, but I want y'all to follow this because we religified repentance and we've lost our way. We've been getting whooped. We've been dealing with consequences of our actions because we've been operating in our flesh and we've been wanting people to feel sorry for us because I'm feeling sorry. And oh my God, I can't believe I'm going through this. And God is telling you to stop doing that and start doing this. Start thinking this way. Stop thinking that way. You're like, I know God, but it's so hard. It's so hard. And God is looking at you. Yeah, I know it's hard. Here's my first point. The first point is this. I got 3 points. The first point is change. Why you're feeling what you're feeling is because God wants you to change. Change what? Change what you're thinking. Amen. Scripture says this, there's a way that seems right to a man, but in the end it leads to destruction. And God is not all about you being destroyed. It may not be jumping off right now, but if you continue to stay in the condition of being unchanged, eventually the enemy will have full reign and rule over your life by that person or by that circumstance that you've convinced yourself it's okay to be in. And there are things that God has been giving you to say, change. Change now. Why? Because I've given you my word and everything about me is right. And I want you to be right. I don't want you to keep getting this whooping. How many of your parents out there just love whooping your kids? Love it. Put your hand down, Ernest. That ain't right. I will whoop them, but I don't like it. I'd rather bless my kids. I'd rather bless them. I'd rather that as they do what it is that I've instructed them to do, because what little I know in terms of right and wrong, I'm teaching them right. I want them to do right. But when they don't do right, what's going to happen? When they're young, we whoop their tail. Yes, I said that. Those of you who don't believe in that, whatever. I love you, but as they get older, the issue is not about the spanking or those type of things. It's the consequences that they'll have to face for making the wrong decision. And what we've been wanting our kids to do, quite frankly, is to repent. What? Change your thinking about life. Change your thinking about what life is about, because you've been suffering and you've been going through, and every so often it'll hit you in your heart of hearts and you're sorrowful and you're feeling guilty, but it's not changed you because you haven't made the decision to change your mind, to change your thinking, and thereby change your actions. Are y'all hearing what I'm saying? With 2 minutes to spare, I want to give you this quick illustration. At the very beginning, I always like to go back to Genesis. Genesis, when Adam and Eve, when they sinned against God by being disobedient to the instruction of not eating the fruit from the tree of, help me out, life and death, good and evil, the knowledge of, thank you, that's what I was looking for. I'll get to water in a minute. I'm flowing right now, baby. So they ate of the tree, and immediately they recognized, they knew that they were naked. In other words, they knew that they were wrong. Something wrong here. And they started feeling some kind of way. How would they know what to feel? Because God gave them feelings. So the aspect of sorrow and the aspect of recognizing something is off from what is right, they immediately experienced that. And the Bible says that then they hid themselves, right? Well, a part of that hiding, well, part of what they did was they took leaves of fig and then they covered themselves. They thought that this was going to be enough. Somehow God is not going to know that even though I'm running around here with no clothes on, now all of a sudden I got something covering something. and he won't know. I'm covering my belly. I'm covering my belly. That's my belly. I know you looked at me like I did something. I didn't do. Y'all know what I'm talking about. Y'all not going to get me in trouble. So they have these leaves of figs, and they're covering themselves thinking that that's going to cover them. Somehow God is not going to know something's different. And God calls out, Adam, where are you? Not because of their hiding, but because they were out of spiritual position. And after meeting out their consequences for sin, God in his love, he sacrifices an animal. The scripture doesn't tell us what kind of animal. We get this impression that it was lambskin because it sounds romantic and glorious. But when you look at the study of the word skins, you find out really it meant like leather. It meant leather because they were about to now experience the harshness of the world. And God had needed them to be covered in such a way that they would be protected. So the reality of it is, and commentators speculate that what was slain for sin, for true covering, was more like a cattle animal. Something that they used at the altar, amen, hello, for the shedding of the blood. A cattle type of creature to cover them, leather, or leather-like material, skins. Why? Because when God covers you, he covers you fully to protect you fully from what it is that you have to experience while in this world. He started it even while they were in the midst of sin. He covered them to protect them from what they were about to experience in the world. You and I, we can't cover ourselves. There's nothing that you can do to justify not doing what God says to do. Because any kind of covering that you're doing is not sufficient to deal with the sin that you're contending with. It's not sufficient to get you to a place and to a position where God wants to truly use you. And you sense that many times when you come into the house of God, you sense that you know you should be doing more. You know you should be involved more. You know you should be actively involved in helping these people. And because God has been speaking with you, but you're covering right now. You're covering your sin, thinking that, well, God knows and God understands. What he knows and what he understands is, I've given you my word. Why haven't you repented? AKA, why haven't you changed your mind yet? I know you're sorry, but stop being so sorry. Change. I'm rolling. I got 58 seconds, and this is good. Why? Because the second part of this whole thing of change is that there's going to be conflict. There's going to be conflict. Paul speaks about this idea or this thought that in Romans chapter 7, that as I am wanting to do the things that I know I should do, I don't do the things that I want to do. I find myself doing the things that I don't want to do. And I'm conflicted and I'm battling. Oh, he says something to this effect. Whoa, what a miserable person I am. But praise be to God. Why? Because he has made a way. He's caused me to realize by his word, he's caused me to realize where I'm coming up short and what I can do to make it right. And it goes on in the thought to say, Romans 8:1, therefore there is now no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. What? Who walk not according to their flesh, but according to the Spirit. Well, how am I going to walk according to the Spirit when I walk according to the Word? When I set myself in agreement with the Word? When I say that when I'm doing a comparison of what I think as compared to what God thinks, I make a decision to do what God says to do and what God thinks. I just do it. And when I've done something that's contrary, the repenting, the confession, God, I missed it. Because that's what I'm doing when I'm in him and I sin. It means I just missed the mark. And don't say that you don't sin. In other words, don't say that you don't miss the mark. We miss the mark every day doing something that's contrary to God's word. Why? Because we're not perfect. So just look at your neighbor and say, I'm not perfect. But you gotta love me anyway. I'm not perfect. You gotta love me anyway. I'm not perfect. I miss the mark daily. I'm not perfect. I'm going to backslide. I'm gonna slip up. But I also have to recognize though that I can't make excuses for the stuff that God has already exposed me to as far as his word. Uh-oh. See, there are some old stuff, some old things that you continue to be in conflict with. And the conflict really is, God says he wants you to grow. and you remain comfortable where you're at. Last point, growth. A little bit past my time. Is that all right? I'm about to land because we're talking about growth. God wants you to grow. He wants you to spiritually mature, but he also wants you to manifest that maturity while people can see you. Hello? This is why we say, you know what? Getting saved is not about going to heaven. When you're in heaven, you are no use to God on earth. Y'all not hearing what I'm saying. I got saved. I'm going to heaven. You get saved so that you can you dominate here on earth while you're here. The assignment is here. The assignment is here. The assignment is
here.
The assignment is
here.
Not when you go to
heaven.
God don't need you in heaven. Don't get all religious on me. The whole premise and the whole point from the very beginning, if he wanted us to always be in heaven when he created Adam and Eve, he wouldn't have put them on earth. Whoa, woo, woo. Yeah. Wake up. He put them on earth and he said that everything that manifests here, my will be done here in heaven. I want it done on earth.
Yes.
And I'm God. I don't change. So even though y'all messed up and y'all missed the mark, it don't matter. I made a plan for to get you back. So now while you're on earth and you got my word, stop making excuses. I'm too tired to read. Or I got too much stuff going on. That's conflict. You're creating conflict. Why? Because you don't want to grow. You don't want to grow. Yes, Pastor, yes, I do. You can't tell me I don't want to grow. Okay. God is limitless. With man, these manifestations that we want to see happen in our bank account, in our families, these things that happen, some of those things don't change except by what? Prayer and fasting. Those are spiritual things. If you don't have a clue as to what it is to really fast based upon the word, you're gonna start your fast, and an hour later, you're going to eat. How do I know this? I've done it. Oh, come on, y'all. I'm just trying to keep it real. But when you're serious about the aspect of you growing, then you put that flesh aside. You submit yourself. Why? Because the fast is not about not eating. It's about drawing closer to God. I'm substituting one desire for another. I'm substituting one desire for the greater desire. My Lord. So with that being said, if I'm stunting my growth, I learned this. I love learning information. Do you understand? Do you know why insects don't get but so big? Anybody know why? Let me just explain to you. I've learned this week in this process. Insects don't grow any bigger than what probably the largest insect is maybe 4 or 5 inches long, and that's pretty big. But they won't grow any longer because internally they do not have the capacity to bring in oxygen the way we do. They don't have lungs. Insects breathe through holes in their legs. And through their motions and their movements, it causes the air to flow through, and they can only but gather but so much air. So they only grow but so big because of the intake that they are able to take in. They don't have the capacity inside. Help me out, Pastor Fred. The insects do not have the capacity to grow any larger than what they have on the inside. This is real talk. You can look up there. And they speak of this in theory, but God, he's incredible in his design of everything. Because I don't need a giant ant running around the size of a dog. I don't need that. So God says, you know what? He's not going to have any lungs, because if he's able to take in more oxygen, we all dying. I love him. Yet he gives us lungs. He gives the elephant lungs. He gives the whale. You know that a whale is not a fish, that in fact it is a mammal, and it needs oxygen. And he gives the whale lungs. So much so, if I'm not mistaken, my son will probably correct me, is that when he intakes air, he can stay submerged to up until about 30 to 45 minutes underwater. The capacity to grow based upon what's on the inside of you. And God, in his infinite plan, this mystery, this whole, I don't want to live on the outside of you. He says, I'm going to put my word in you. So with God's word in us, what is impossible for you? What is your capacity for growth with the word that's in you? Why do you think the enemy makes you tired and sleepy when you're trying to read and pray? Why do you think the enemy causes you to be deflected and distracted with so many things? And why does it make you, why does he make the word so boring to you and all of that? Why? Because he doesn't want you to understand your ability to grow. He doesn't want you to see when you grow spiritually, then everything that happens in the spirit, it has to manifest in the natural. How do I know this? Because when you go back to the beginning, God spoke to male and female, what we now know as Adam and Eve. He spoke to them first, spirit, and declared to them the dominion that they would have. Then he formed their bodies and put that spirit with that word that they had. I'm finished. No, I'm not. No, wait. I'm not finished. I am finished, but I want y'all, this is the landing. The disciples could do nothing on the day of Pentecost if they had not followed the instruction of Jesus. Not just to go into Jerusalem and wait, but everything that they had learned over the course of 3 years. And to see the proof that what he promised in terms of, I'll die, but I'm not going to stay dead. For 40 days thereafter his resurrection, he spent time with them. And then in a 10-day period, it was like, now absorb all of that which has been spoken to you. They were praying, the Bible says. And then there was a moment suddenly that happened. And the Spirit of God fell on each one of them, and it looked like tongues of fire, the scripture says. And a prophecy was fulfilled in that time, not just for them, but for every person that would believe that now that God would not just be around them, or he would not just be in a temple. He would not just be in an area where you'd had to go to, but that where you go, there he would go, because now he's in you. And the reason why he wants to be in you is because he created us for fellowship with him, and also our capacity to grow beyond our own thinking about who we are, where we come from, the mistakes that we've made in the past, the things that we've done that didn't line up with him. And now it's impossible for me to get right. It's impossible for me to do right. It's impossible for me to make this wrong situation right. But with you it is. But with God, all things are possible. Why? Because the greater one lives on the inside of you. And the greater your capacity to take in the word and to do it, to agree with it and do it, to agree with it and do it. You know, a lot of times people start, they speak the word and they say, well, I spoke the word. But wait a minute, you have to be honest with yourself. Did you agree with what you spoke? AKA, you know what, God, I'm not feeling it. This is conflict for me, but you're right. You're right, so I'm going to set myself up to believe, agree, and then do. If I don't agree, I ain't going to do it. If I don't agree and I'm doing it, I don't really mean it. So my doing is in vain. So it's wonderful, it's beautiful that you come to church. So, what are you doing with what you hear? What are you doing with it? What are you doing? Because everything about our gathering is about getting in agreement with God. Every time we come together, it's about getting in agreement with the word that has been presented to us. What are you going to do? And if there's things that you hear that are creating conflict, God is right. Go ahead and argue it. I don't care. But God is right. You may not even like me. I'm likable. But you may not even like what I have to say to you. But if I'm saying to you what God says, because he's right, then you don't have to like me, but you have to respect me. And I'm not talking about me, but I'm talking about the one who lives in me. Because we're trying to grow. And listen to what I say. I say we. Why? Because when you look at Ephesians 4, the bottom line is that if you're not growing, I can't grow. Look around you. So now rubber meets the road. Look around you. And some of our inconsistencies. Why? Because we think it's good enough to come to church every so often. And God is not impressed with even me. Because sometimes I don't want to be here. Okay. I'm just saying. So there's sometimes where I'm like, you know what? Shannon, what you doing? That's Fred. Where you at? Baby, what you doing today? No. I feel like that sometimes, but you know what? Can't hold back. Because as much as I'm speaking this word to you, it's in me. I got to do it too. I speak it, I hear it, and I got to do it. And the things that I don't do, I repent. I repent. I have to change my thinking, God. I don't want to, but I realize I have to. I must. Why? Because I got to grow. I don't want to stay here like this. I don't want to continue to feel this way. I don't want to continue to think this way. I don't want to continue to keep dealing with this conflict, even though it's comfortable. And I know, Lord, that the consequences that I'm dealing with, even though people may not know, is really there internal things that I'm uncomfortable with. And I'm tired of feeling uncomfortable about this. And God says, repent. God, I don't want to be depressed anymore. I keep going through it. And God says, repent. And it sounds simple, but it's not simple. Why? Because you have to put some things down. You have to put away the old man, Scripture said. You have to make a decision that's not right. But everything about you, Lord, is right. So the conflict will become easier. There will always be conflict because there's always new things for us to learn so that we grow. But the things that God has been repeatedly saying to you and speaking into you and by whether it be me or any other of the people that have prayed for you and talked to you, at the end of the day, you've got to decide to repent. To change your thinking. Agree with God. Walk with what it is that the little bit that you might have, it's more than enough to defeat the enemy right where he stands. The little mustard seed of faith, and this is that conversation, that faith that says, God, I believe you. I don't know how you're going to do it. I don't know. I want to know all the steps, but I'm going to trust you. That mustard seed in this one area of my life that I know that I'm in conflict with you in. I'm going to believe you. I'm going to set myself in agreement with what you say. Because everything about you is right. What you've said in your word. I know it. Many of us, we know what God says in his word. We know. The issue is, do we agree? Do I agree with God? I know you told me love my wife. And I know you told me sacrifice. I know. But you're asking me to act out of myself. I don't like what she's doing. I like how she's talking to me. She's talking crazy to me. I ain't from that place. When women talk crazy to me, I man up and leave. I'm saying. Lord, I mean, I've been praying for him. He ain't acting right. He ain't doing right. So I just give up on him. But I feel like I've just gone through so much. I'm going to leave. I got to leave. And if God is giving you an instruction, giving you an instruction to do different, there's conflict there, but you got to do what God says to do. We always hear that, do what God says to do, but do you agree? Will you agree with him? Because if you and I, if we agree with him, now it's not just him, it's us. It's the Holy Spirit and me. It's us. It's not just God. It's God, help me. Yeah, okay, I'll help you, but you got to do a part here. Do you agree with what I said? Well, I heard what you said. I know what you said. I read what you said. Those 20 people who said what you said, I heard them. But do you agree? Because you're only going to do what you agree to do. My God, y'all hear that? Good or bad, you're only going to do what you agree to do. And God is so big. He's so mighty. He's extraordinarily patient. How many of y'all know something about that? Waiting on you, what? To agree with him. Amos 3:3. How can two walk together unless they agree? Everybody stand to your feet. Upon the word that you heard this morning, you would declare in this moment right here that there are some things that I need to repent of. God, I understand really now what that means. And Lord, I want to set myself in agreement with the things that you already said to me. I don't know how it all is going to work out, but I just know that I need to change the way that I've been thinking about things. It's affected my life. It's created consequences and conflicts, and I don't want to be conflicted anymore, God. I want to be right. I want to be right before you. I want to be right in regards to what you want to do in my life. If there's anybody in here today, I'm going to ask you to grab your stuff, come out to see. I want to pray for you real quick. We want to land this thing by allowing the Holy Spirit to come alongside of you now. And enter into you in a way that you've never experienced before. And empower you to take that little bit of word that you know, and give you a victory like you've never had before. And I'm not going to belabor this. If you know that this is you, and that there are things that you need to change your mind about as it pertains to God and his word, Here's your opportunity. Let's make it happen right now, all over the building. I don't care what status. I don't care about what your title. It doesn't matter. Right now, it's all about you and the Lord. And there's more. There's more. There's so many more of you that need to agree with God. The times in which we live today are not times to delay and tarry. As the Lord said, hey, my promises, I'm not trying to hold them back from you. But I want you to get right. I want you to be who I created you to be. That depression, that excuses, the excuses that you have used to cause you to stay right where you are, it is time out for that. Come now, declares the Lord. Declares the Lord, come now. Come now. You can't live that way anymore. Come now. Your life is in jeopardy. Come now. You are causing a hindrance that will stifle life for you. Come now, he says. Come now, he says. Come now, he says. Come now, he says. Man of God, come now, he says. Woman of God, come now. You have conflicted. You have been battling and you have convinced yourself that your thinking is right. And he says that that is not right thinking and you can't move forward the way you think you will. You will lose more than you gain if you stay one more day. Come now, he says. Come now, he says, in the name of Jesus. She has to go. She has to go, he said. She has to go. She has to go. Who am I talking to? Who am I talking to? Because he's already said this to you. She has to go. You need to come forth right now so that the Holy Spirit can come alongside of you and help you. He says, she has to go. She has to go. She has to go. My missing is it? That's not you. It ain't you. It's not you. It's not you. It's not you. You're not up here. Whoever I am talking to today is the day of the decision. Who am I talking to? She has to go. He's been saying it to you. He's been declaring it to you. You have been living conflicted. You've been battling almost so much so that you live, she lives, and then you kind of come together and it's comfortable, but it's not God. It's not God. Who is that? Come now, please, please, while there is life in your lungs. She has to go. It's not because she's bad, but she's not good for you. Who is that you, young man? I don't want to be missed. I don't want to miss. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Step this way, because this man and this woman, they have some distance. Hallelujah. There's more of you right now that should now. Presence of your brothers and sisters, confess your sin. Confess your making. This is not about whether or not you're saved or not. It's not about that. You've made your confession and God will, he can judge your heart. So it's not about that. But if you know who the Lord is, there are some things that you have done that have stifled your growth. God's saying, no more excuses. No more excuses. The saints, y'all don't need to be looking around. Y'all need to be praying. We need to be praying, just like we pray for the church. We need to be praying for our brothers and sisters right here. There's some real live issues going on, and the devil would want to have his way. Keep everybody right where they are, not growing, stifled and stuck, battling and dealing with the conflict of what's right and what's wrong. But all it takes is a simple decision to say, God, I agree with your word. I don't know how it's all going to work out, but I set myself in agreement with your word, and I will do what your word says to do.
For more information on the teaching ministry of Pastor Rich Martin and Life Community Church, please call us at 817-468-9215 or visit us on the web at www.mylifemycommunity.org.